All right, good evening, New Life Assembly. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Okay. We are actually going to continue in Galatians 5. So this is part 2, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Really, it's the signs of the Spirit. That's how I titled this, you know. But it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. I stuck around longer in that text, longer than last time. It was a long time, longer than I thought I would. And we're going to see how we're going to go through it tonight here. So I'm just going to pray before we get started in here. So, Father God, we just lift up today. We thank you for the worship today, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me, God. Lord, speak through me in spite of my weakness, Lord. And Lord, that you would just be made powerful and just made strong, Lord. Make me strong in you, Lord. So we just thank you for tonight, Lord. We praise you tonight, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. So again, we're going to continue Galatians 5. We're not going to go over the whole thing again. But we're going to start in verse 22. And again, the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit, remember with that, that is a natural outflow of you being a believer in Christ. So when you believe in Christ and you put your trust in Christ, the Spirit of God fills you. And in the same way that a tree, naturally produces fruit, you are going to naturally, as a Christian, produce spiritual fruit. Now that's in contrast to the works of the flesh. Notice that Paul calls it the works of the flesh. So you as a believer, when you work and operate in the flesh, that's almost like you doing something that's against the grain of who you naturally were made to be in Christ. So that's almost like work for you. That's a struggle. So that's a difference between the works of the flesh, which is this completely goes against who you are naturally in Christ, versus the fruit of the Spirit, which is a natural growth and, you know, a fruit of who you are. So continuing in verse 22, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. So we're gonna start here with the aspect of peace, and that's one thing that I didn't really cover a lot. I didn't really go much into this last time I spoke. So you as a believer should have a natural outflow of peace in your soul and in your spirit. Philippians 4:7 talks about the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, how it guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So logically, in the world, when trials and tribulations come, the logical thing to do is to not have peace. The logical thing to do is to panic and strive and try and fight against the things that are going on all around you externally. But you as a believer, you are a complete like opposite of that. You as a believer should have it where to where you're going through trials and tribulations and persecutions and stuff, and you actually have a peace which transcends understanding. Because in your natural understanding, as these things come, you should panic. But you have the peace of God as you're going through different trials and tribulations. And that's actually one of the signs of you, even your witness to other people as well. So as you're dealing with people in the world, they're seeing that you have peace. Why? And they're like, why do you have peace? And why are you rejoicing and having joy as you're going through these different things? There must be something different about that. I remember that was one of the testimonies. Well, not quite. There was a similar testimony on my workplace when I worked at Walgreens. But I know that's one of the main kind of strains that people kind of talk about is when, like, they see that you have peace and they're not actually, and they themselves don't necessarily have peace as they're going through different trials. I know I had it where, let's say at Walgreens, which I'm going to get into a bit, the patience part and the long suffering. And actually, I'll just go into long-suffering, since it kind of blends into this here. Long-suffering, that's then one of the other fruits that goes along with the fruit of the Spirit. That has to do with patience. So your ability to be patient and actually be steady as all these trials and tribulations come to you. Now going into my Walgreens testimony. I remember one time I was at Walgreens, and there was this long line of people that was, you know, going all the way back to like photo or whatever. And there was this person in front of me who I was ringing them up. I was working the cashier or whatever. And the person got all like angry and stuff at me. And, you know, it got all angry, you know, the beautiful life of retail, you know. And I just didn't get angry at all. I just completely, you know, was, you know, calm and had the patience of God literally fall, descend on me. And I was just going through this, and I wasn't reacting with any kind of anger or anything. And a person, you know, I rung them up and they left. And then the person afterward, right after, was like, "How did you deal with that? You know, you had the patience of a saint." And I should be like, "Well, you know, I'm actually a believer in Jesus Christ." You know, I was on a work, I was working, so I couldn't really, you know. But that's what I'm talking about, where you're actually going through, where people are like cursing you out. Let's say in the context of like, you know, evangelism or something like that, or where you're sharing your faith, or in any really context, to where you're going through different things. You can have someone literally cursing you out and speaking evil of you, or, you know, going through different trials and tribulations again, and you have the peace of God and you have the patience, the long suffering of God, to where you're not reacting all crazy. You know that in the end, God is in control, and He has control over everything that's going on around you, and you have faith that this whole thing, everything you're going through, is for some kind of reason, for God's glory, and He's working it out for His particular end. So the long suffering of God, the patience that comes from the Spirit of God in your life, that should be something that should be manifesting. Now, you do have patience in that sense, but you should also have patience too, to where you're trusting God over long spurts of time, you know, to where you're literally, you know, waiting on God, and it might seem like in the natural things are not moving, but again, going back to the faith and trust that God has everything under control, even though you might be waiting years or whatever for your breakthrough to happen. Kindness, again, another fruit of the Spirit, kind of goes in again with kindness in the face of unkindness. That's really where it's tested, to where you're being persecuted again, or the things are happening to you and you're still being kind. I had that happen a couple times on the street where you're evangelizing or speaking to someone, and then, you know, someone's not kind, and, you know, you have the kindness of the Spirit of God in you, you know. So, goodness, again, mercy and kindness, that has to do with what your action towards other, being merciful to others, not seeking revenge. Faithfulness, that confidence and trust and faith that you have in Christ. Verse 23, continuing. Gentleness, just going back to the issue of contentiousness. We talked about contentiousness, I believe, last time. We did go over that. That was actually one of the works of the flesh, is when someone is so just desiring to fight all the time and just desiring just to, you know, just argue and just that. That's their whole kind of mindset. Now, keep in mind that with contentiousness, that's one of the things I find too, that you can actually almost have like a kind of Christian cover with it, to where you can have like, "Oh, I'm fighting, you know, but I'm fighting for some righteous cause or whatever." When in actuality, they just want to fight just to be contentious. You know, they're not actually doing it for any kind of righteous cause. They're just doing it just to, they just want to state their point, and there's no actual, you know, like leading of the Spirit or anything. Gentleness. You can actually contend for something. So you can actually fight for something. And Scripture talks about, you know, righteous anger. And actually having, a righteous anger. You can actually contend and fight for something and not be contentious. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you can actually fight and have a righteous cause, but not have this whole you know, emotional kind of like, kind of just, well, it says in the scripture to sin, to be angry not, and sin not. So you're able to actually be angry, but you have to be careful to not sin in that anger. 2 Timothy 2:24, 25 says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. The quarrels a little bit, we'll get into that a little bit. Patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. So it's not a matter of you being passive and not telling someone the truth. No, you the servant of the Lord must be willing to correct those who are in opposition. So there's an aspect where there's going to be some kind of opposition that's coming to you. But as this opposition is coming, you yourself are also being humble as well and not being quarrelsome. Quarrelsome has this idea of just, you know, again, contentiousness, to where you're just kind of fighting just for the act of just for the purpose of fighting. I remember there was one time, I'll give this quick testimony, and I was dealing with someone in the world, and we were talking about some kind of like hot button topic, you know, so many hot button topics out there. And I was talking with him, and you know, someone who was lost, and we got on the topic, and the guy, he was getting all like upset and angry or whatever, and I was like, just calmly stating the truth and just kind of, just walking, in peace and just kind of. And then he saw that as I was walking in, you know, just humility and just, but still correcting him, you know, and still kind of telling him calmly what the truth is. Like, he saw as I was being calm and he was going crazy, he was like, I don't know why you're not freaking out with me, man, but you being calm like this is driving me crazy. it just drove him crazy, you know. And I think sometimes that does bother people, you know, because in the natural, in the world, again, when tempers rise on both sides, generally, you know, that's what occurs, you know, that they just, and there's no actual fruit that comes from that, you know, when both sides just get angry. And again, I'm not trying to say you should never be angry. There's been some times I have gotten angry with something. Yeah, Josh, you didn't laugh over it. It's like, yeah. So sometimes I have gotten angry and stuff, but it has to be a righteous anger. It has to be the anger that actually, has a righteous cause to it, not just for the sake of fighting.
Not just pure emotion.
That's where it gets to be, you know, that's where it gets to be an issue. Just working in soulishness or in the soul. Self-control, restraint. So the ability to show restraint. One of the biggest areas where to show restraint is with the mouth, obviously. Because the mouth is the biggest area to... It actually sins with... you can sin with the mouth in many ways. You can sin with lies, deceit, gossip, slander. That's the main ways. And I believe I heard someone say... I'm not sure how true this is. But someone once said that there's more instances in the scripture where it talks about sin with the mouth than a lot of other issues, and comparatively with other issues. Now, but I have to actually look into that to see if that's actually true or not. I wouldn't be surprised if that's true, but you can sin in many ways with the mouth, and that's why there's a need for the self-control. With all these things, it says here, against such there is no law. So this is not something you're doing according to the law. This is not something that you're doing just trying to work, trying to work to these things. Again, I'm emphasizing, this is not something you're striving to do. Again, these are things that are natural outputs of you being a believer. In other words, it's not you acting and putting on a mask and doing like, okay, I'm putting on now my joy mask and I'm putting on my love mask and my peace mask. No, this is an outflow from your very spirit. And one thing we talked about when we were going through the release of the Spirit is that when you become a believer, the Spirit of God, you know, dwells inside of you. But not only that, the Spirit of God actually, this is kind of a weird thing to think about, but, and we don't really talk about this in the American church really a lot, but the Spirit of God actually blends with your spirit. That's actually what occurs. It's almost like a, and that's something we can't really even fully understand, you know, But your spirit, the implication is almost that your spirit and God's spirit almost becomes like together, you know, it comes together. That's what should happen. That's what occurred. So out of that, the Spirit of God, now you should be an outlet of the Spirit of God in your life to where you're actually pouring out to others with these fruits. Now going into verse 24, there's a couple things I've noticed here. The funny thing is that I didn't have any notes for 24 through 26 at all. Last time I spoke, apparently I don't know what the deal was with that. So all of this is just pretty more so just, I guess, fresh manna for you guys here tonight. So, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Now, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit here, you know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and, you know, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But also, under that umbrella, you have those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and his desires. Notice that "and" in verse 4. So this is kind of under that umbrella of you having of the fruit of the Spirit. So included in all that, you also, one of your fruits too, is you crucifying the flesh with its passions and its desires. So all those desires that are in your old man that aren't part of the new man and new creation in Christ, and all those fleshly desires and all those things should be crucified, and you should be dying to self daily, and that's part of your fruit that you have as a believer. So that's all under that umbrella. I think normally we may think, oh, just, you know, those first couple, you know, those first couple things. But then you have that also, that connection there with the "and" too, to where you're also crucifying the flesh with his passion and desires. And you have that initial crucifying to where you're, you know, that you're that initial, hey, I'm going to give my life to Christ and actually follow Christ. But then it says to crucify the flesh daily. So there's an aspect to where you're crucifying the flesh daily and putting this old man before, you know, on a cross and continually just, you know, dying to self daily. Now, there's a lot of blatant things, too, you can crucify in the flesh, you know, desires and the passions and stuff. But I think one of the things we always have to watch out for, again, are things which you can kind of have under, you know, again, a Christian veil. And I know I kind of already talked about that. But that's something we always have to be careful of. Like, let's say selfish ambition, but with a Christian veil on it, you know. Mm-hmm. Or like greed with a Christian veil, or different things. There's a lot of things you can do that are, kind of fall under fleshly desires and passions that you can have with a veil on it. And that's something that I believe you have to search out yourself. In your personal time with God, and actually search out, like, hey, you know, Lord, show me these areas that need to change in my life. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the flesh. I mean, let's all go walk in the flesh. Yeah? Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let me repeat that. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That was an interesting verse, because I didn't really understand. When I initially read this, I didn't really, well, what does that mean, you know? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, aren't you by default, if you're living in the Spirit, does that mean you walk in the Spirit by default, you know? And I was really praying about it. And it doesn't... What this more so means, and I even looked up a couple things afterward just to kind of confirm, okay, is this actually what's going on here, you know? What it actually means is that if you live in the Spirit, if you're a believer and you claim to be Christian, then you should walk in the Spirit. That's what, you know, I always put that, whenever I give like sometimes like biblical truths, like on social media, yeah, that's the best way to do it, right? Or even speaking to people or whatever, there's always this kind of little thing to where, you know, this is actually what should be happening. That's not necessarily what is happening. So if you live in the Spirit, if you claim to be a believer, and you have the Spirit of God in you, then you should be walking in the Spirit too. You should actually be walking and should be living out actively in your practice, in your lifestyle. First John talks about this whole issue, walking in the light. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible is First John, because it talks about this whole issue of like walking in the light, and how if you walk in the light, you also have fellowship with God. So this whole issue of walking in the light, walking according by faith. Remember that walking in the scripture has to do with your actual practice, so your actual lifestyle and how you actually live your life. So where positionally you might be, okay, I believe in Christ, I'm a believer. Okay, that's good and nice, but your walk in the scripture has to do with you actually living it out and you actually walking according to the Spirit. Again, you should walk in the Spirit. Your actual practice. Now, the one thing I want to talk about too is walking in the Spirit and not walking according to the flesh, because there's an aspect of that too to where you're not walking by sight. You're not walking by what you naturally see. You're walking by the Spirit of God, which requires faith. And how many times is it to where we can walk by sight and we can just operate according to our flesh and our natural understanding and how we see things just according to our sight? I know that's something that I can definitely do a lot, to where I just operate by just what I see. How desperately we actually need to walk according by the Spirit, because there's only really certain things that can be done by the Spirit of God. There's things that we can't do according to our own understanding and our own power. We can only do it according to the Spirit. And that goes even to verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Because all these things are done according to the Spirit of God, and they're not done according to your own strength and to your own power, there's no reason really for you to be conceited. There's no reason for you to be prideful or arrogant, because none of it's actually coming from your own person. In the end, all these fruits, all this crucifying of the flesh, this passion, and you walking according to Spirit, it comes by the Spirit of God Himself. That's enough reason for you to be humble and to just, you know, praise God for what you have in Him. So the envying of one another and provoking, a lot of these things mentioned in 26, let us not be conceited, provoking one another and envying one another, a lot of it has to do with this whole desire to be seen and pride, and just that whole, again, like focus on self. The focus, like, I want to be seen, you know, the whole issue of being conceited, envying one another, the whole reliance on self. And again, there's so much to where today you can... I should tell a funny story. Yeah, I'll tell a funny story, I guess, you know. There was one time where I was hearing someone speak, and this might sound silly, but it caught my ear when I heard this person speak. This person spoke, and he was like a teacher or something, like a Christian teacher. And this is around when, like, I think Instagram kind of started at that point. So social media, the great means of promoting self and promoting, you know, aspects of. So this guy, he gets on social media and he starts getting them playing around on there and stuff. And he actually started off his sermon about like how, like saying, like, oh, well, my life is more than Instagram likes. And he went this whole weird tangent about like, you know, like almost like being better than someone else because of Instagram likes. And I'm like, is he envious of Instagram likes? And I was like, I think this guy is envious of Instagram, because the way he's talking about it is like, you know, people think they're so better because they have Instagram. And I was like, this guy's a Christian teacher talking about Instagram. And it just popped into my mind, like, oh my gosh. I'm not lying at all. Like, that's literally the thing that popped into my mind. I was like, I think this guy is a Christian teacher, and he's actually envious of other people's Instagram likes. And you can just read it in the person's spirit that that's what he's talking. This is the generation we're living in. This is the generation of the Christian, of the American Christian church, to where Christian teachers and believers are envious of people's Instagram likes and stuff like that. Mm. Do not be envious of one another. Envious of something that's, you know, so futile and so temporal. But I mean, there's no reason to be envious of one another, because ultimately the Spirit of God, same Spirit that gives you gifts and fruits and different things, is the same Spirit that gives me the fruits and the gifts and the things He gives me. And there's no reason really to be jealous, because really the degree by which we have the fruit of God manifest in ourselves or in your life is really the degree by which we are obedient and we're compliant with the Spirit of God. So there's really no reason to be envious of like what I have or you have or anything. Really, it's again the degree by which the gifting, what does it say in the scripture, that He gives according to the needs of the church, the gifts and the various roles, the teachers, prophets. So, I know you guys, a lot of you guys have been around. I know probably over 20 years, some longer than, you know, I've been a believer, definitely. And I know you guys have seen other means by which envy creeps into the church. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing, now you see social media to where it's like people can post, you know, whatever. But in the past, I mean, you know, you have it in other ways where envy creeps into the church. Again, that becomes that reliance on self and not actually the actual Spirit of God. So the fruits of the Spirit. How much time we got here? 26? You know what? I'm actually going to go to the Galatians 1 a bit here. Galatians 6:1. So continuing to Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So you get this gentleness there. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his load. Let's see how far I can go. So verse number 1. So right after you have the whole the envying and the provoking one another and stuff. And that whole, you know, issue of the conflict that kind of arises. Paul gives this call to restore a brother in gentleness. So why is the whole issue of gentleness and humility important? Well, again, it says it right there in verse 1, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And again, this is one thing we definitely, all of us have to be careful of. Because that's part of the reason why I make sure to, I pray for gentleness even when I'm correcting someone. Because there's always that ability, if you don't correct in gentleness and you correct in pride, there's that door by which you can also fall in the same door. And that's very much so. I've seen that again in the past, to where someone can, like, okay, I'm going to do this, and they end up doing the exact same thing or something along the same vein as what they did when they corrected that person. But a lot of that, again, comes when you correct in pride or in some kind of sinful. You can actually correct in a way that's not correct. You can actually rebuke and try to exhort someone in a way that's not actually, again, the way that God calls you to do that. You yourself have to make sure your spirit is in the right position. Verse 2, bearing one another's burdens, the call to help one another, how this fulfills the law. And remember, the one of the main things of this book is talking about the circumcision and external works. So it's not that fulfills the law, but it's actually the helping of one another and actually carrying one another's burdens. Now, notice that we're called to bear one another's burden, but at the end of the day, verse 5, everyone shall bear their own load. And we're actually, I'm going to get into that in a sec, but I do want to hit the whole fulfilling the law ish are part of it. What did Jesus say himself in Matthew 22:37-40? You shall love one another. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So that is actually the fulfillment of all the law. It's for you to love God with your whole being. And then for you to love one another after that. So first, you know, the vertical, you know, you love the Lord first. And then you love others after that part. Now, going into verse 3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something. So again, he's had the aspect of pride, to where pride comes before it. I forgot where they're coming from here. Sharing, when you actually share in one another's burdens and you actually take on one another's burdens, that actually breaks the pride. And even in the Christian body, you've seen this, to where people, some people are not willing to help and assist other people. And it's this weird kind of pride that kind of comes up even in, you do have a weird kind of sometimes image thing that even in the church, to where people kind of put too much focus on image and again, external status and things like that. And they will not be willing to help another person who is in need. When you actually help someone and share in another's burdens, it actually breaks pride. It actually humbles you. And what did Jesus Christ say himself at in the end of days, where he's judging everyone? He said that one of the markers of those who are wicked is that when he actually, when there was someone who was in need, that that person who was wicked didn't extend help to that person who was the other believer. And the person was like, I remember how it goes now. Well, so Jesus was like saying, you never helped me when I was in need. And then the people are like saying, Lord, you know, why didn't you, where were you when you needed help? And it's like, well, when this person was in need and this person was in need, when you didn't help them, you didn't help me. One little thing I want to note about that verse, though, and a lot of people don't really talk about this when you talk about that verse where Jesus is talking about helping those who are in need. That verse is more implying those who are believers in him. So it's those who are believers in him, not necessarily randomly just helping out people, you know, like random charity. And that's good. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with, you know, charity and like helping out the homeless and things like that. But that verse is more so saying that when you help another, when a believer helps another believer in need, that actually shows that it's actually, you're actually helping Christ. Actually, you're actually extending that to Christ as well. So again, the sharing of bearing one another's burdens. So verse 4, and for each one shall bear his own load. And that's something I definitely just want to talk about for a second here. So each one of you in here have a load that you must bear on your own. So I can help you with your load. I can help you with your spiritual walk. And I can, if you need me for prayer or something, you can call me up for prayer. You know, if you need, you know, like a ride to come to church or something, I can help you. I can take you through the scripture and do all these various things. And if you, again, you need help with something, I can help you. But at the end of the day, only you can walk your Christian walk. Like, I can't walk your walk for you. You know, when you come to that impasse where you have to make a decision to either follow Christ or to not follow Christ, and to do things according to, you know, as you being a believer in Jesus, I can't make that decision for you. So only you can actually make that decision, you know, yourself. And therefore, you have to walk this thing out yourself. So that's something, again, that's the whole issue. Because it's always an interesting thing here with this Galatians passage. Like, bear one another's burdens, but at the same time, you shall bear your own load. You shall carry your own walk. That even goes into, like, what I believe Pastor Mike was talking about, the virgins, or the virgins, like a couple weeks ago or something. I'm going a little bit longer. I'll try not to go into another subject. Yeah. I'll go to verse 6 through 10, and then I'll call it. I'll call it a night after that. Yeah. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man shall sow, that he will also reap. For he who sows according to the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows according to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So the whole issue of reaping and sowing, again, going into the issue of the flesh and the spirit, to where you can do things according to the spirit, and you will reap according to the spirit, or you can do things according to the flesh, and you will reap according to the flesh. Again, I think you see this a lot, really in any stage of your life, to where you'll see, again, the fruits of what it is that you do. Do not grow weary while doing good. The Lord sees all you do, and he sees who will reward you accordingly. And doing good to the household of faith. Again, that's just reinforcing the issue to where you're actually doing good to those who are of the household of faith. So the emphasis there is you doing good to those who are fellow believers. I had a little testimony too. I can kind of run into this. And it's really a testimony I've been telling you guys over and over again. And well, the spirit of the testimony is something I've been telling you over and over again. This whole issue of doing good to those who are fellow believers. And that issue to where doing good to those who are the household of faith. And I posted it on my social media. So anyway. Where Monday night I visited a group of believers who were basically part of like a Bolingbrook House of Prayer, essentially what it is. It's actually a Chicago House of Prayer. And actually, I visited them by accident like a year ago or so, like less than a year ago. And I was actually going somewhere else, and I just so happened to see this hole in the wall place, with this sign that said, prayer on it. And actually, I think that was probably the whole reason I was supposed to go out there. It wasn't even really supposed to, because the place I went to was kind of like whatever. But then the prayer house was cool, so I walked over there. And I drove over there to this place, and I walked inside, and you can actually sense, presence of God, in the place there, Spirit of God. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to have to come back one of these days and, visit these guys again. And so I didn't go back until like this past week. So I didn't go back for a while. So less than a year. It's almost a year that I haven't been there. And what that reinforced to me, this whole issue of like the household of faith, and even the whole issue of like walking in the spirit and the Spirit of God being among us, that just reinforced again the issue of, as I have the Spirit of God in me and you have the Spirit of God in you, there should be this automatic and supernatural connection and fellowship that we should have with one another. It should be automatic. And I've noticed that consistently, like, in my life, to where if you're of the household of faith, and I'm of the household of faith, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ, there should be that automatic. And again, it's to where, it's, again, the Spirit of God really that's bonding each of us. It's not just some natural thing to where it's, like a social club. Jesus said, just to end off with the verse 10 there, Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So again, that's one of the testimonies of the believers, is when there's that unity, and again, that comes by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians talks about the fellowship of the Spirit. So your fellowship is in the Spirit of God. When there's that divine unity among believers, that's actually a sign to unbelievers that they are actually following Christ. They're actually disciples of Jesus. So that's another aspect, again, of walking in the Spirit. And it's, again, it's operating in Spirit, just being able to do things according to His will and not our own will. So I can pray for you guys tonight. That's pretty much all for tonight I want to get into. Just a need for us, again, to walk in the Spirit. Really, again, it's a natural outflow, and it's really a matter of you just kind of walking in line with what, you know, the Spirit of God is doing. So I'll pray for us. So Father God, we just lift up tonight, Lord. I just pray for the message tonight, Lord. I just pray that you would, Lord, just help us to walk in your Spirit, God. And Lord, help it to be a natural outflow again of who we are, not us striving, not us acting, Lord, not activity, Lord. We pray against activity and just us just kind of doing things in our own power. Lord, we pray for that divine unity among us, Lord, that there will be an issue to where we can, each of us will hear your voice and there will be a unison among us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, a gift given to us when we put our trust in you, Jesus. So Lord, we just praise you tonight, Lord. We lift your name on high tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray also too, Lord, just for, again, Pastor Mike as he's out there. Lord, just give him rest tonight. Lord, give us rest tonight. If any of us have been working this whole day or whatever, Lord, pray give us rest. And Lord, make us refreshed for tomorrow, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the group too, the Bolingbrook group, Lord. Again, their goal, they're trying to do a 24/7 thing like in Kansas. And Lord, there's little pockets everywhere, Lord, that we don't even really, we just stumble upon a lot of times. And Lord, they're seeking you out just like we're seeking you out, Lord. And Lord, we're not an island unto ourselves, Lord. There's the body of Christ is massive, Lord. So Lord, we just thank you today, Lord. And we praise you today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.